homes, because guess what? They were raised in that kind of atmosphere, okay? Mm-hmm. And so guess what? They project on their mate. Same thing with women. Mm-hmm. What men did with their mother or their fathers, they saw what their fathers did with their mothers. They picked up that behavior, and they're thinking that that is a natural behavior to bring to a home of their own. And so watching this, you got all kind of my foo-foo going on in your home. Because you got people.
What's that word? My foo-foo.
My foo-foo.
Yeah.
My foo-foo.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, Dr. Demery, translate that. You know what she's saying.
That's not it.
Dr. Demery, no, that was a cover. You know what it meant. Okay.
Mm. You know what? You need to stop trying to make yourself better. That's not it. Cut it out.
Okay.
Anyway, everybody else knew what I meant.
I know what you meant too. You're right. Everybody knew what you meant.
Let me throw in here real quick. I'll be really short, but I'll tell you what. Some of the worst arrests that I had to perform in my duties. The worst ones. They weren't the big people. They were the guy that was 150 pounds or the woman that was 100 pounds wet.
That's
in her clothes was 100 pounds. Yes. Those are the worst arrests that I ever had to perform because they were like little Tasmanian devils. So it wasn't the big people I feared, like Dr. Demery's a big guy. I didn't fear him. I feared the little ones.
That's right. They were, and all I wanted to say we are in a society in this day. And what causes, because I tell people, I said, it starts at home first and is brought out into the atmosphere of the world. And so guess what? If you got a lot of misfits going out there, abusers going out of there, schools are crazy. Everything is haywire. And I think we talked about this last week, William. Where do we start? Because, the therapist offices are not filled as they should be because if you have, you got some therapies, mine's is my foo-foo too, because some of them folks are sick. I'm just being real.
I gotta put that in my vocabulary.
Okay, yeah, put it in your vocabulary. I'd use it. But it would be fitting for right now. But I'm saying that you've got therapists who need help. You got
therapists who
play like they got it all together. And they're finding answers, too, for themselves. Because if they can be rude and crude to their mate and stuff like that and then go out and help somebody else, and you got an atmosphere in your home that's all jacked up, how are you going to really be significant? To me, you're not a good example, period.
Right.
You're just not a good example. What you did, you learned a lot of mumbo jumbo and you're going out to use it to make money, but your home is jacked up. Your relationship is jacked up because you still suffering from your past traumas. Come on now. And then you get triggers when you are counseling with others. Then you come home and you take it out on your mate. He don't know why you mean it's two junkyard dogs coming in the door and you hadn't done nothing.
That's
you
it.
See what I'm saying? And so this is the atmosphere that people are walking into. And with adults, look at the Hollywood. A lot of them are getting bullied. If you don't condescend to some of the things that they are projecting to you, if you don't condescend to some of the ways that they want you to pledge into, if you don't condescend to their walks of life and their expectations of you, you're either bullied or you're going to be wiped off of the face of the earth.
And you're exactly right.
That are being used.
Dr. Sims, you're right on it, and you're exactly right because a lot of that is being exposed as we speak.
Exactly.
You already know. Hollywood is overrated, folks. And you look at the way TV displays this, and Mike, I know you've seen it too, okay? And you look at the Walk of Fame there, the Walk of Fame, yeah. So my camera can make it do anything I want it to do, but if you look at all of Hollywood, the only thing I really like about Hollywood is the Hollywood Bowl. And I'm telling you that right now. And that is the absolute truth. Downtown Hollywood is trash. Folks, I'm telling you. I'm serious. Dr. Demery, Dr. Sims, am I wrong?
No, you're not. It's like a circus. You can sit on the curve and watch the things going on. and having a jolly crazy time the whole evening. It is crazy.
It is absolutely, and it is congested, and it's really not that clean. If you look at the area there at, like I said, give me a camera and give me a good editor. All right. The rest is history. Okay. Let me do this. Dr. Sims, this one is for you. Oh my goodness. Let me do this. Oh, and let's try this one. Let's see how this works. Okay. All right.
Stephen Furtick, who is the pastor of Elevation Church based in North Carolina. Stephen has a net worth of about $55 million and owns a 16,000 square foot gated estate worth about $1.7 million.
Now Stephen Furtick is spending a lot of that money on a 16,000 square foot house. It has 7.5 bathrooms. Building permits put the contract value of the house alone just shy of $1.4 million. The land cost another $325,000 for a total cost of more than $1.7 million.
Of course, Stephen isn't obligated to share exactly how much money he makes, but take a look at how he responds to a reporter asking for information about the extremely expensive house he is building.
For 7 weeks, we've tried to talk to Stephen Furtick about his multi-million dollar home.
Can you guys hear this?
Sent emails, made phone calls, sent a registered letter, even made one face-to-face personal appeal. He's always declined until one Sunday he brought me up in his sermon.
So I've been feeling sorry for myself lately because they told me this news reporter is trying to do this story where he wants to make our church look bad.
Then he described his multi-million dollar home as, quote, not that great.
Well, me and Holly this year, we're building a house. We've been looking for a piece of land to build a house for our family for a long time. So I'm like building this house and I'm really excited about it and everything. But then I found out, this is crazy, the news tried to fly this chopper over our house. The people that are building it told us they're flying the chopper over your house. I'm thinking to myself, first of all, it's not that great of a house. I mean, I'm sure there's better houses if you just gotta fly a chopper over somebody's house. But it started to mess with me a little bit. And then I started to get a little self-pity because I was like, God, now this ain't right, because I didn't even build that house with money from the church. I built it with money from my books, and I gave money to the church from the books. And you start getting real defensive and being like, this ain't right, this ain't right.
Regardless of where the money came from, the undeniable reality is that Stephen has become immensely wealthy as a direct result of being the pastor of Elevation Church. And even what Stephen said about the money he received from his...
Oh, let's stop it right there. Hey, Mike, hold on 1 second. Let me get back here. I don't want that.
I think thou protest too much. In other words, he's trying to, like, protect himself. And, yeah, he's trying to build a wall around what he's doing. He's trying to blow smoke. He's gaslighting.
Yes. Well, of course he is. And he said... He didn't make money off of what the church, but he made money off of the books. Okay. So if he didn't have the church, would he have the book? I mean, is it pretty chicken? Much. Which came first? The chicken or the goose egg? Dr. Sims, you had something.
I was in extensive study this past week on the methods of those that obtain riches the way that they have. That's in Christendom.
Wow.
And I was just in the scriptures, and I was listening to someone who brought out about tithes and offerings and what was expected from them. Uh-huh. I also was in Malachi, very heavy. And so the Lord was talking to, he was addressing, from my perspective, and I could be wrong, the leaders. And so... the scripture that really got to me was Malachi, in chapter, I forget the verse right off the top of my head, but, will you rob God? Yet ye have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Mm. Okay. And he said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that they might be meat in my house. Well, I dissected that scripture that they might be meat in my house. But when you have churches that don't have for the poor, you don't have for those to give, for those that are in need, then there's something wrong with that picture. When you have could charge over the bank account. Now, I believe the Bible said in business be men, but I also believe, I was listening to Dr. Dimmer when he said, he'll feed you, you know, and things like that. You'll have folks that if you, and I know this personal, they'll have a board meeting. If a saint or a child of God needs to have like a $50 gas bill, help to pay that gas bill. well, we got to call a board meeting to help vote on if we're going to give that to you. Well, I have an issue, sir, with that.
That's right.
And my thing is this, is that if that person sat there all that time and was able to labor and give as according to God would have them to give, then you should be more than willing to just give it, because that's what the church is for. Now, I know some people have taken advantage of the church. I do know that. And so you got to decipher who's just coming running a scam. But another scammer knows another scammer. Let me just be real with this right here. Okay, a schemer. And my thing is this, if you're building homes and things off of the people who attend BATS, you, sir and ma'am, your motives are wrong. Mm-hmm. And my thing is, I'm finding less and less, and not all of them, I'm not saying everybody, but if you do your visual, and it is what it is, they're not preaching or too much concerned about the souls of men. They are concerned more about their pockets and their riches and how they can get over. I just heard a pastor just a couple of days ago. He said, pastors, when is enough going to be enough? You got big houses. You got big planes. Prestige. You got
you're preaching.
You got notoriety. You got this. When are you going to stop? He said, and I know this is a scripture as it is written, judgment will begin at the houses of prayer, of God's house, because of this kind of going on. Because people who are up in these upper echelons, who are even walking in the status of being a minister, have lost focus as to why they were called. Not all of them was called. Some of them just scammed their way in because they saw it be a moneymaker. Okay, that's another thing, because that had been projected. But for those of us who don't even ask for a dime, I had one preacher tell me, y'all stop driving so much so you can bring more money to the church. Now,
here's what?
I had to pray to keep from using profanity. And see, my old self almost, and I'm not weak. I'm not a weak person at all. But I wanted to say, Ninja, who are you for real standing in front of God's people? And I mean dogmatic telling them. And then I had another time where he said, don't put a dollar in the envelope. I paid more than a dollar for it. If you don't, I'm like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. This is not for you. If that's all the person, just like the widow's mite, if that's all that she has, then that's all she can give. You're going to.
Exactly.
And that to me is a tactic of bullying. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh my goodness.
Putting somebody down in the house of God who wants to be there. Now that's why there's been a lot of turnoff for this foolishness. My thing is this. Mm-hmm. I told my daughter, Lisa, they need to stop raising these false offerings. Talking about Jesus' birthday gift and all this kind of stuff. You know you're not giving it to Jesus. Yes, I'm telling you. His birthday gift.
So Jesus. Dr. Sim, I'll let you go. I promise to let you continue. So you tell me that Jesus got a bank account.
You know who has a bank account. You know that one in their pocket.
Jesus is in there. He's got Bitcoin.
Y'all better stop.
Good Lord.
Thing is, it's because
I ain't going to have to repent after this show. No, stop.
Hey, look here. Can we do direct deposit?
I'm so sick. I can't do this with y'all. You know what?
Well, but my thing is,
Dr. Sims, on a serious note,
yes.
I really want you to continue. I'm trying to make light of this, but what you said is profound. And it's right. Okay? No, we're in agreement here. But I'm talking about these fools.
But William, it's a serious
come
problem.
Come on.
Here's the thing, it is
awful.
And I have to put the blame where it lies.
Man.
Because who they have been led captive away from the things of God, and they are doing his bidding. And that is to keep them blinded, and also to manipulate the children of God and to prevent them from having a sure relationship with the Lord. Because all this foolery has caused a lot of people to run away from church, and also a lot of them have run away from the Lord. And this is a problem. I've read in the scriptures that their hands are bloody, and God's going to deal with them because they have manipulated. They have abused, they have scammed and things like that. Now you have some who are, I'll say Dr. Demery, like myself, I don't ask for a dime. I could care less because God said, whatever is right, he'll pay, and then he'll make provisions for this girl. And he's come through. Now, I do know, I told my daughter, and I'll say this last thing, William, I told my daughter, I do know bills have to be paid in the church. I know lights have to be stay on. I know the rent or the mortgage have to be paid, but not where it comes to $11 million. Okay. Anyway, where you have to pay for the word of God, number one. You have to pay for a free word that God gave you in the Bible. Now they're making you pay. Let's lift an offering for that good word that we received. Now, wait a
Come
minute.
Come on, man.
Charlatan, sit your happy self down because God gave that word. That word is free. I pay nobody. I'm telling you. Come and on. I'm on it. I pay nobody for the word that I'm supposed to receive from God. If you are a real authentic man or woman of God, you would give me that word that would benefit my soul and to increase my walk with God, not to increase your bank account and your purse. I'm just saying.
You know what? Dr. Sims, thank you.
I'm tired of it.
One candle loses nothing by lighting another.
And you know what? No, Dr. Sims, you know, you and I and Ann and everybody, we go back and forth on this and we have fun and stuff like that. But what you were saying is absolutely correct.
But it's not everybody, William. It's just those that just make it.
I'm sorry. Everybody. Look, I agree. Dr. Demery, No, it's not going to happen. People are playing with God. My mom told me years ago, don't play with him.
Amen.
True. Dr. Demery, why do people play with God? I don't understand it, brother.
Simple reason is they don't care. There's a lack of caring, and the Greek word for caring gets tied into the word for being humble. Humbleness is not a part of who they are at all, and it's like Dr. Sims was saying, they don't care about people's souls. The only thing they care about is lining their pockets. And so, I mean, I am just blessed that I'm in a denomination that we have checks and balances where, you know, our salaries are set by the conference. Mm-hmm. And if you make anything above and beyond that, you know, by writing books or whatever, you can't do it on the profits of the church. So, for example, it's direct inverse ratio to what this guy was saying about, you know, was able to be successful because he was the pastor of the church. You know, you can't make success your bevy off of the church itself.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I think there are certain denominations that have checks and balances. I mean, ours are one of, and I want to say this too, and I'll finish with this. I think it is, and Ann can comment because I know she's been churches and whatnot. I think it is directly related to mental illness.
Those pastors get so involved
in the money, and they literally lose their minds because it's like you guys all have heard me say before. Reinhold Niebuhr said it, who was one of the theologians in my denomination. Reinhold Niebuhr said, "Absolute power corrupts absolutely."
Absolutely.
He took it from Paul Tillich. And so, you know, when you get to the point where you have that much power, where you have that much influence, and, you know, you get to the point where you lose your mind, where I remember I told you this one pastor wanted them to put him on a chair and put this pedestal up and carry him into the church. I said, "Why, you fool? I ain't nobody gonna care." He must have weighed about 400 pounds. To kill his big ass in there. So you know, that to me, Dr. Sim is a form of mental illness. You know, they have lost their minds.
Yeah.
So, oh, my. There's a scripture, and Anne can relate to this because she's been involved in. They have given themselves over to a reprobate mind.
Amen.
Oh, Dr. Demery, that was, look, I love that dialogue. My, you're 400 pounds.
I'm sorry.
Well, you need to get your 10,000 steps. That's what I was telling you. To go get your 10,000. I'm not carrying you, partner. That's the problem. Oh. You need to walk a few more steps every day.
Hey, look here. I tell you what, Dr. Demery. I tell you what, Mike. And Dr. Sim. Whoever decides they're going to volunteer to live, it ain't going to be me.
I will lift you up onto, help lift you up onto this stepmaster.
No, look, Hey, look at, that's the day I quit. Are you serious right now?
No. And I was just visiting him. Thank God I wasn't a member of that.
Right.
I just had to be visiting him. He wanted them to put him on this chair, and I think they were going to run like these bars through or something. They were going to lift his big up, and he wanted them to carry his butt into the church
like an Egyptian king
or a demigod or something like that.
That's it. Like Mike said, you know, like, you know, you turn on, those movies with Samson about going all the way back, right?
Right.
Man, hey, this is hilarious. Mm-hmm. Disclaimer to our audience. This is a serious broadcast.
They can tell.
Yeah.
We can laugh about it. It's so crazy. We can laugh about it.
Yeah.
You know?
And what I want to say is, when we, Mike and I, we talk about this too. And Ann, she talks about this a lot on her shows. And she talks about the content and the dialogue that we have on the Boomerang. And folks, I need some tissue right now. My eyes are watering. This is hilarious. And she was saying, you know, we have fun, great content, but it's always a lot of fun.
Read, read underneath my name, by the way, all of you. read what's underneath my name.
What's underneath your name, Mike?
Read it.
It's too small.
William's got to go back to the full page.
Hey, William, can you take the full
page? I can't go back to the full page, but that means that let me release this other thing.
You can.
Yeah, I know I can, Mike. I'm just saying, you say I only push buttons around here, okay?
Don't push them a little better. Push them a little faster. Push them a little harder.
Okay.
There you go.
Oh.
Is that fitting?
Okay.
I still can't read it.
It says, life would be tragic if it weren't funny.
Oh, you know what? And that makes a lot of sense. Folks, you gotta laugh. Sometimes you have to laugh to stay, to keep from crying.
Keep from crying. That's true.
There's no question about that. And so what we like to do each and every week here is to bring some serious content. Mm-hmm. Nobody can doubt that when you start talking about the things that we are dealing with. And I look at a couple of things. I'm going to start with Dr. Sims. What, in my opinion, made some major contributing factors other than, you know, well, guess what? I don't have a job. I need money, blah, blah, blah. But you find preachers, charlatans, hustlers, friends, and even family, they will prey on that. You give me this, I'll give you that. You know? And promises that, for the most part, are unkept. I think that religion, in some cases, And that's going to maybe the wrong churches. Dr. Demery, Dr. Sims, and me and Mike. And listen to the wrong people. Contributes a lot to mental illness and decline in mental illness, especially this prosperity gospel. And I really want to take, I see Dr. Sim taking a deep breath over there. She's writing. And how this harms people. You have people with, they're looking for hope. They're looking for a way out. They're looking for something that's going to make their lives better. And they go to these places. When you talk about your Benny Hinn's, you talk about your Creflo Dollars, you talking about TD Jakes. They talk about what's the other clown that a whole bunch of them out here. Dr. Sim, Demery, who is that white evangelist? Paul, is it Paula White?
Oh, Lord.
That was Trump. Oh, my God. And who is this other cat that says that God wants him to ride on a private plane because he can't be?
Oh, that's Kenny.
Oh.
That's Kenny. That's okay. Kenny Copeland. I call him Kenny.
Dr. Sims, I'm starting with you. Lord, how much does this contribute to mental illness? Because if you're someone that I truly believe in and you have proclaimed yourself as the next thing best to Jesus, all right?
No, they did not think that highly of themselves.
Yeah, they do. Uh-huh. Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. And if you don't give me, if I don't give you my rent money. Dr. Sims, the floor is yours.
You're not getting my gas money, right? Money. And my food money, none of that. Okay, anyway, let me answer this question.
Dr. Sims, one other thing.
Yes.
Okay. I got to pay you to hear the word. Okay, the floor is yours.
All right, I already spoke about that paying somebody to hear the word. I don't do that, okay? Once you come out with that foolery, I'm not paying you jack, okay? And it is what it is, and I know it sounds she very hardcore. When I know the Lord said, I give freely, and that comes from heaven, you were not there, you to hang with him on the cross. It is what it is, and I don't want to go through that dialogue, but you made something clear. And I'm a little frustrated because, and I know God knows my frustration because I talk to him a lot about these things that are going on, and I'm glad he allows various one of us to see. But I have to address that this is not just a church problem. This is a society problem, okay, the things that are going on. Yeah, we're supposed to get help coming from the church, but how would you know that this preacher is preaching the truth? And I heard Dr. Demery say, go study, and I say the same thing. Don't believe, that's why I don't give him scripture. Go see if it's in there. Okay, and so stop being lazy and go find out for yourselves. And that sounds hardcore, but that's, I give it to them in love. Listen, do not, even when I'm teaching, don't listen. I dissect words. Come on now, folks, stop being lazy. And this is what I think too, and we talk about AI. AI is making some of us lazy as well when it comes to going into the books and going into there to study. And so even when we sit there in church, some things when it didn't hit my spirit right, and especially when I was in Bible study, and I would raise my hand and I would ask a question, and I can only go on myself because I don't know everybody else's makeup when they're in that situation. And I would ask, does this mean this? Because the word of God says this, when you're told to be quiet and take what I tell you, then I have an issue. And so therefore I've learned to study for myself. And this is what I encourage everybody to do. Learn that word for yourself. And how can you have a good faith? Religion and relationship is two different words. It's two different entities, two different areas. Cause religion is a practice, a continuum practice, but relationship is ongoing. It's growing. It is a growing entity. That's my theory. And my thing is this. to have a sure enough solid relationship with God, you're going to study his word. You're going to get in there. You're going to talk to God. You're going to ask him to share with you. What does this mean? Where do I need to read? Other things I need to read. But you have some that tell you, no, you just take what I tell you. And what I tell you is actual facts. I found out that there's so many mistakes when a person tells you that. And then what it boils down to, let's just put where rubber meets the road. The people are so enamored with power and control. And this is not what God told us to do as ministers, pastors, bishops. He didn't tell you to control the people.
Right,
he told you
right.
to feed them.
Yes.
Feed them the word of God so that they will learn, they will get some stamina on how to walk with God on a day-to-day basis. I can't take a preacher on my back every day and just say, what should I do? What should I do? But that's where it's almost gotten to. And it is a bad situation. I can't breathe. What do I do, Pastor? Do I need to do this? Sometimes, if I stump my toe, will you drive 30 miles and pray for my toe? No, get the blessed dog, put it on your own toe. That's what I tell them sometimes. Pray for yourself. If you have a relationship with God, he will hear your prayers. But people are so overwhelmed with flesh. The flesh of man standing before them. And it reminds me back in the day, the children of Israel. Remember, they wanted a king, right? They wanted a king. Okay, they wanted a God. They wanted something that's tangible. And ever since then in the Old Testament, when they wanted a king, and I know I may be jumping a little far, but they wanted a king. We've been in trouble because all the kings weren't good kings because some of them was ranked and some of them was good and some of them was yet ranked. But my thing is this, and the same scenario to me, and I could be wrong, and I'm not one for not being corrected, but from my years of visual and watch, looking, listening, learning, from what I have studied, watched, God said, I don't want you to do this. I don't want this happening. That's not me. This is not my deal doing and things like that. And then the word of God has backed up the communication, that my personal relationship with the Lord. People have to get off of being lazy. And I hear Dr. Demery saying it all the time. Don't take my word for it. Okay. Go in there and look for yourself and see, search the scriptures, and then you'll find that there's truth in there. And you say, well, he's good. But if it sounds strange to you, then 9 times out of 10, it might be a little strange until God gives you the correct, information about it. But the thing is this, William, you said something about you having, you know, looking at this man and having confidence in him. The Lord already tell us don't put no confidence in flesh, period. That's what he said. And if you put too much confidence in somebody that's standing before you, then you set that man and that woman up as a god, period. You set him up as an idol. And that is written. The Lord said that we are not to have any other god before him. And it's easy to do. And I heard a man of God just on last night. He said a woman called him and asked him. She was between death and living. She had a rebound with cancer, and she called him as her pastor. And he said, I need you to show how much power we have as pastors. That's why we've got to be careful how we use it. And she asked him, she said, should I take chemo and live, or should I just go on and die? He said that blew his mind for her to have that kind of confidence in his fleshly being that he had to consult God himself for his own life. Okay, but she could not decipher which one should she choose. And he said, pastors, this has got to stop because this is happening all the time. And some of you, he said, you have your mouths, your tongue have killed people because you have set yourself up as idols. Just like Ezekiel talks about, he says, you have put idols in your own hearts. You set yourself up too high. And God's going to reckon. He said, this stuff has got to stop. He said, because the church is in a point of being delusional behind the falsities of people's lives. And God is coming for preachers. He's coming for teachers. All of y'all that did all that lying and manipulating, God is coming for. And maybe I shouldn't have said all that, but it's overwhelming.
Oh, no, you should have said all of that.
A lot of people, Satan's already doing his thing. But it's turned a lot of people away from the authentic.
You probably didn't
God.
Hear me, but you should have said all of that. Because that is absolutely, because it is crazy that these people have manipulated a lot of people. Folks, and we're not talking about, oh my God, there are millions and millions and millions of people that believe this stuff they're being taught, Dr. Demery. And I want you to, I really want you to chime in on that, because it's something that we've talked about this, and Ann knows it. I think Dr. Sims knows, and even Mike knows now. I've said this often, that you tell the members of your congregation, look it up for yourself. I'm going to start the ball initially and give you this information. Challenge me. You've always said that, Dr. Demery. I've got to believe, over and above everybody else, you take these people here that have taken on the titles and the responsibilities of being pastors and preachers and bishops. They just make them names here now. Okay, but anyway, call themselves all of these things here. To me, there's got to be a price to, there's a price that has to be paid right there to mislead these people. Right? Dr. Demery, simple question.
Well, I'll be real brief.
Let me ask you a question. Do they believe this themselves? Do they really believe there is a God? Do they believe that they can escape this? Because to me, this is an abomination. Now, sir, I'm sorry. Take over.
Well, I was going to say, because I really want to hear what Ann has to say. I think there is, like I said before, a level of mental illness involved in this. That's why they're able to do what they, because there's no way I could do what they do. I couldn't sleep at night. You know, I couldn't justify within myself to do that. Not saying that I have all that good in me. I just, my conscience wouldn't allow me to do that. But I'm going to leave you with a text from Malachi. Malachi says, I can't remember the exact text. Try me and know me and show, and I will show you that I am real. So God wants you to test him.
Yes.
God wants you to let him prove himself to you.
Exactly.
And if you do that, God will prove it to you. God will show you. You know, I mean, there's the three P's that I live by. The three P's are, one, presence of God, to feel God's presence. The second P is prayer. And the third P is patience. And people don't want to do those things, to feel God's presence, to pray about an issue, and then to have patience to wait for it to see what's going to happen. And I'll leave it at that one. I know it's more complicated than that, but I think a lot of these people, like you said, they actually believe it. Like Dr. Sim says, that nut, and that's what he is. Kenneth Copeland, he's a nut. He is a nut. I think he actually believes that. So him and that other fool, Jesse Duplantis, jackass.
Oh, Dr. Demery, before we go to Dr., look, I want everybody to jump in on this. Mike, jump in when you get ready, and Dr. Sim.
I live by the 6P principle. Are you ready for the 6P? Prior proper planning to prevent pitiful poor performance. That's my 6P.
Wow.
You know, and the thing, what I'm amazed about, Ann, is that if you go back as go back to Jim Jones and how he was able to convince these people to go into a remote place with him only to their only demise. What these people are doing and these cults out here, oh my goodness. They are so dangerous in so many different ways. Hey, let's not forget Charles Manson. I think that was a cult too, wasn't it?
Charles Manson.
To be able to, like, check out what I'm saying. To Jim Jones and to all these other people and to some of these people that claim they are a church and they are honoring God. They are a church of God or whatever they are.
Not even close.
The damage and Dr. Sims, Dr. Demery, and Mike, this is some dangerous, dangerous stuff. We know that guns are dangerous.
Guns aren't dangerous. The people that hold them are dangerous.
And that's the people I'm talking about.
Guns by themselves are just,
no, hey, Mike, just a tool. It's like, well, hey, guess what? Take the guns and take these people that I'm talking about. And put guns in their hands. Okay? And?
It's the person that's...
Hey, Mike, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly okay. What I... Okay. Maybe my mic isn't on.
It's on.
Oh,
come on.
No, seriously. Mike, you're right. It's the people. Both ears are working.
God gave you two ears so you could listen twice as hard as you speak.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
You got two ears and one mouth.
That's what that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. Listen, you take the guns you're talking about, all right, and you take the people that we're talking about, put the guns in those people, and your floor.
Well,
sorry, Ann.
Oh, you're okay. Just
no, Mike just wanted to pick
just
a fight.
I'll spell the
Mike...
argument like this: there are some things that are inherently dangerous. Yes. For instance, y'all have a car, and if driven properly, you get from one point to the other, and everybody's okay. But if there's an accident, people can be seriously injured. So cars are inherently dangerous. Planes, like for instance, you guys heard about the door coming off a plane in mid-flight.
Oh my goodness.
That's something else that's inherently dangerous. A knife, a fork, all those things can be dangerous. However, it's up to the person using it to use it responsibly, which is basically marrying both of what you all were saying in harmony, I hope. Makes sense. So on the one hand, you both have a point. It's inherently dangerous. On the other hand, depending on who's using it, it makes it even more so. In response to, the clip that William played, full disclosure to everybody listening, I have written Christian books. As a matter of fact, I got my start here at Studio W Buzz because Reverend Demery and William interviewed me after I sent William a copy of the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries workbook. So I for those of you, you know, I feel I should say that because I don't want you to feel like I'm being a hypocrite. It's not my intention to be a hypocrite in this particular response. I personally do believe that God's word contains everything that we need. He's our Father. He's rich in houses and land. I'm his child. He takes care of me. Everything I have is because of him. However, you have to recall that there are 66 books in the Bible, and that one scripture that I just told you that, that my Father's rich in houses and land, the hills of the cattle on a thousand hills of the Lord, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, whichever one you like that talks about prosperity. Remember that there are other ones that talk about poverty as well. Jesus said the poor will always be with you. So you can't just take one particular scripture and build, a whole lie around it. That's what the enemy does. And I think that's, what some of these people, whether intentionally or unintentionally, are doing. They're focusing on the one hand And so you've got people who aren't making ends meet, people who have had generations of poverty, feeling like there's something wrong with them. There's something wrong with their faith on the one hand. And then on the other hand, throwing up their hands and saying, well, apparently God doesn't love me.
Right.
And turning away from the faith. In terms of these ministers, you know, making money off peddling
people suffering.
Yep.
Right. There, I grew up, you know, in Eastern Arkansas, which, as you all know, Arkansas is one of the impoverished states in the United States. And so not only that, it's the South. So the haves and the have nots are very often split along racial divides. So you could literally, one of the hallmarks here is train tracks pretty much separate the black part of town from the white part of town very often. And so you could go from one side of the tracks and see nice stately homes. And as soon as you cross over, you got pretty much a slum of people living in extreme poverty. But in the midst of all that, very often you see a very beautiful church, where all the black people, would go to on Sundays. So I've heard people, you know, complain about pastors, my whole life, literally, being people, you know, preying upon the people of God. So I guess my thing is, what is the answer? How do you, as a man or woman of God, do the work of the ministry and still, you know, survive, still support yourself, still support your family. I think I've said it before, the Apostle Paul did an excellent job in the Word of God, telling us how to do it. He basically said, I was never a burden to any of you.
Exactly.
He had his own job. He had his own, money from doing what he was skilled at doing. And any offering that was taken up, he took back to the Jews in Jerusalem because they were suffering, because they believed in Jesus Christ and they were no longer a part of the synagogue. And they needed the assistance. So that said, I told you I didn't want you to think that I'm being a hypocrite because yeah, I do write Christian, books. But at the same time, the Lord made me read about the Apostle Paul and what he did. And he also gave me rules, you know, as to what I could and could not, accept money as income for myself, for. So the first two books that William and Dr. Demery, are aware of, the first one they interviewed me on, I was allowed to keep the money from that. I am allowed to keep the money from that, but for instance, everybody knows that we have health and fitness columns that appear in different magazines. Sometimes we get money for that. Well, I'm not allowed to keep that money. So that money goes to the ministry. When I make, Reverend Demery would tell you, I've had speaking engagements because the very first time I was so scared, I called him to pray for me. But none of that money, whenever there's an offering raised, goes to me. It goes to Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries. And I say that, to say that, you know, God is the one who will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. He's not going to let you go without anything. But if you're doing the work for him, you need to ask him what he wants you to do with whatever you have. You will bring in because of the work of the ministry. And if he tells you that this is something that you can use to support yourself and your family, then by all means, use it to support yourself and your family. But if he tells you that this is something that you use for the ministry, so that the ministry can move forward, then that's what you do. At least that's what I do. And I hope that makes sense. And I hope it doesn't make me sound like I'm just being a hypocrite, but I want it.
No, not at all.
I wanted people to understand.
Not at all. Mm-mm.
And let me just share this with you.
Becca is very humble.
It is, because you are doing just the opposite of some of what these charlatans are doing.
Yes.
Exactly.
You know, and if you needed to take more money to support your family, because guess what? Without you, whatever your ministry is would not exist. So you have to, self-preservation, you have to take care of yourself. I have no problems with anything said.
She's not taking advantage of anyone
either. Yeah.
No, that's different what she's doing.
And she I want you to eliminate something for me, your brother, who loves you dearly. You take hypocrite out of that, out of you. Retract Please. That. Retract
well,
that.
I,
that has
I
nothing
just
to
know that people see me posting
I don't,
about.
Well, guess what? Well, you tell them call me. Tell them call me. I'll cuss them out. I protect people I love, and I'm telling you, Ann has been one of the greatest assets that have graced this network. She knows that. That's why if she ever wanted to try to disappear, I put on an APB. It ain't gonna happen. That's my sister. That's my sister.
Yeah.
I loved her. We're joint. She ain't going nowhere. I ain't even thinking about it. Somebody said, Ann's gonna quit the buzz. I said, no, you lying. No, you lying. Ann, no. Dr. Sim, what you said, ooh. By the way, you are looking lovely tonight, my dear. Okay.
Oh,
my.
Thank
you, sir. Oh, well, she is. She always looks great.
Thank you, sir.
No, she does. Otherwise, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, let me tell you something. She knows that she's going to look great. Otherwise, she would text me and say, I'm not going on camera today.
You ain't lying.
No. Okay.
I'm not lying, and I'm not confused. I just know my eyes puffy. I ain't right.
Okay. Hey, we had a few minutes. Your show, Dr. Sims, Miss CeCe's yes, Kitchen.
Miss CeCe's Kitchen is aired on Thursday at 4 p.m., 6 Central, 7 specific Eastern Standard Time. We're doing something a little bit different, and William and I got this thing together. And so I'm doing some recordings on my group site, because I have people that are lined up that come in different time zones, and their jobs conflict with the time that I do my actual show. So I'm going to be doing some pre-recordings as well. I tried to do a pilot just this past Thursday, and it went pretty well, but I was kind of disturbed in my mind, making it short, that a dear person had lost her 4-year-old daughter due to cancer. And the child suffered greatly, and so I was kind of in and out of it. But anyway, God is good. So we're just doing some things. I've got Ann scheduled. I'm so happy about that.
Well, Ann is coming on. You know, I haven't been invited on, but guess what? I ain't coming. I ain't coming.
You have. You've been on my show 3 times.
Three times.
I can pull them up.
I need some receipts. I need some receipts.
I'll give you your receipts. I got them.
Okay, well, send them to me.
You pulled that before.
Three times on your show.
Let me move on with my thing. He just get beside himself. And I also got brother Jonathan Van Thomas. Johnson scheduled to come on, and I've got some more people coming on. So I'm working with them also, as I said, regarding their time zones. And so because of the new direction that I was mandated to go through, and you know, this is a God thing for me, I have to move in that vein. And so William will still be having the shows. Did you get the last show, William?
Yeah, I got everything. It's just you know,
did.
You're running out of it. Woman, hold on, I have to check. You run out of time, so anyway.
You're just so terrible.
You were supposed to let me know. But anyway, folks, come on in and join us. It's still going to be Miss Cece's Kitchen.
Yeah.
Just say a little prayer.
It is Miss Cece's Kitchen. So I don't know what you're talking about. You know what? Dr. Demery, where's the mentor back? You know, I'm done with you, Dr. Sim. When is the...
I'm done with you right now. Okay.
Dr. Demery, hey, tell everybody how we can find the Mentor Congregational Church. And now, don't go too fast because you know you guys don't have a stoplight.
That's right.
We'll go right past with 1205 Barrel Avenue.
Everybody gets some.
Of Barrel and Highway 38 or Lagonia Avenue turns into Mentone Boulevard, which turns into Highway 38. If you keep going straight and up, you run into Forest Falls. But we have Sunday services at 10 a.m. every Sunday, and we're going to be starting a Bible study, and I'm going to be putting my sermons on our website, which we're trying to get up and going. So thank you very much.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Let us know, and we'll make sure we advertise that. So what Sunday are you serving greens and cornbread?
Well, you just missed it. We did it during Thanksgiving.
I ain't missing nothing. I'm not flying all the way back to California. Get and we
he needs help.
But you don't have to want it. I don't want it. And
hey, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in.
This is too good.
As an Active Worship Ministries radio show, we air live on Saturdays at 11 o'clock a.m. Central Time right here on Studio W Buzz. And after that, thank you for catching the Teens Talk Truth radio show hosted by my favorite young men on the planet, my sons, AJ and Alex Taylor. They discuss hot topics affecting teens in our society today. If you missed it, you want to go to the archive shows or on Apple or Android device and follow Studio W Buzz, because they had Dr. Koye Oyerende on talking about the issues that we're having with these viruses, RSV, COVID, flu, pneumonia. So he gave some great information for you and your family, especially some information for your teens so that they can keep themselves healthy. So tune in every Saturday, 11 a.m. for Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries. Keep it locked for the Teens Talk Truth radio show, and we'll see you next week. Have a blessed Martin Luther King Day, and stay warm. I don't know about you guys, but it's snowing here. So stay out.
It's snowing in Arkansas. It is freezing in Texas. I was talking to a friend of mine, and they are freezing in Texas. And guess what? Hey, Mike, yesterday, the teens, AJ and Alice, got into this argument about washing hands, and it was hilarious.
Wash your hands, don't touch your face.
Yeah, but Ann, give us a little tip back, the argument between these two, because AJ was accusing Alex of not washing his hands, or
Alex please, loves real quick. Vermix, so he loves hand sanitizer. He will hand sanitize, and so Alex pointed out that the last time that he knew Alex washed his hands was when last week, as a matter of fact, I took Alex's hands, literally put soap in them and put water on them and rubbed them together. Like you soap and water something. And so we had Dr. Koye.
It was funny.
You need to work on that boy.
It was funny.
I'm like, I think hand sanitizer has its place. Like for instance, when they're at school and whatnot, of course they're encouraged to take hand sanitizer. We even bought them a little thing to put on their backpacks to carry it on. But hand sanitizer should not be used at all times. And so Dr. Oyerende, explain for teens why you need to wash your hands. Because it just helps. Man. It just goes, it's better than the hand sanitizer.
It was funny. It was so funny. Oh, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Hey, Mike. Man, yes, Mike, sir. While we're coast to coast, tell the audience a little bit what we do, why we do it, and...
Absolutely, I will. But, Ann, what you need to explain to your son is that women look at men's hands to see if they're clean, or if they're working hands are still clean.
Fingernails especially.
So you need to explain to your son that if he wants to get a date or girlfriend, he needs to have nice hands. Okay, so explain that to him. Maybe that will motivate him. Always trim your nails. Make sure there's no dirt. I'm serious.
We have gone round and round with Alex about that because he was a nail biter. And so he's finally got nails now. They're looking good. So it's a step-by-step process. He's doing better about his hands. It's just now
very
getting
good.
Him.
So if he wants a good girlfriend, he's got to keep his hands nice. Oh. And Dr. Sims, I missed you so much on Thursday. I'm sorry that you had to rerun. Because I always look forward to listening to your show. So, Dr. Sims, thank you very much.
We're going to get that straight now.
And as far as Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
What's that?
No, we're going to get it straight now.
Yeah.
Okay.
She decided to screw everything up, Mike, but we'll get back to that later. Anyway,
you really need to quit.
Wait. Sit in your big chair. Don't push anybody. Coast to Coast goes, you know, Boomerang's a very serious show here. And yeah, we have a little laughter along the way, but Coast to Coast is nothing but wonderful music and laughter. So William and I, we beat on each other every Thursday.
Love
it
too.
Have a really good time with it. And then we play great music from any genre you could ever think of. If you want to listen to a wide variety of music instead of what they're playing, you know, there's a station out here in California where I live. It's called, it's a country station out here and K-Frog. They play the same songs. K-Frog. Yes, K-Frog.
Oh yeah.
They play the same six songs over and over and over. And don't get me wrong, I love K-Frog, but geez, come on, widen it up a little bit. And that's what William and I do on Thursday nights is we play that wide variety of music. It could range from classical to Willie Nelson. So we have a good time with it. If you want to laugh and relax and tip a cold one, Thursday nights starting, well, I'll let you guys do the math, but it's 5 o'clock my time. It's 8 o'clock William's time. And if you're in between, you figure it out because I don't do math here.
Wow. Hey guys, this has been a ton of fun. And Dr. Sims, Dr. Demery, Mike, and to give you a little sample of one of Mike's picks on the way out, I've got to drop this one, Mike. This is the Buddha Heads.
Buddha Heads.
The Buddha, B-U-D-D.
Okay.
H-E-A-D. Buddha Heads.